It's time for season two of the Remoter Podcast. I'm your host, Josephine. As a continuation from season one with Alex and Andreas, I had the opportunity to interview some remote work leaders, ranging from companies, consultants, advocates, and more, to add to Remoter's stash of free resources and human-centered stories, enriching our educational platform about remote work. This podcast is sponsored by Tori, a new kind of professional network that automagically connects talent with opportunity. Founded by Alexander Torrenegra, our goal is to make work fulfilling for everyone. Find the job of your dreams by visiting tori.co. That's T-O-R-R-E.co. Hey there, I've got Mary, Victoria, and Allison's story today. I met up with Mary and Victoria in Toronto, Canada, at my alma mater, Ryerson University. And it just so happens that as we were recording our conversation, to our left, the Minister of Finance appeared and was having a meeting or something. So what that meant was, as we were recording our conversation, there were people in very formal business attire just roaming up and down the halls. Nevertheless, Mary, Victoria, and Allison's story is one showcasing Creative Commons' dedication to continue bettering their diverse and inclusive remote workplace.
I'm here today with Mary and Victoria from Creative Commons. We are currently in Toronto in a little red and gray study room in the Student Learning Center, which is now called the Sheldon and Tracy Levy
Student Center.
And you know what? Good for them. He was a good president. I'm not really sure who's the president now, but that's besides the point. But thank you very much for joining me on the Remoter podcast.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Would you like to give the audience a little briefer, a summary on what you guys do at Creative Commons and introduce yourselves?
My name is Victoria. I'm the communications manager at Creative Commons. I've been there for about 6 months now, so I'm one of the newbies of the team. So Creative Commons is a nonprofit organization that was founded in 2001. And essentially, we're at the heart of the open movement, which is a movement that aims to solve global problems through transparency, collaboration, reuse, and free access. So our mission is to make it easier for people to share creativity and knowledge, as well as access and build on the creativity and knowledge of others.
My name is Mary Morshed. I'm the Director of People and Operations at Creative Commons, and I've been there for about 5 years.
Have you guys worked remotely before Creative Commons, or is this your first gig?
For me, this was my first one. It took a lot of getting used to. But now I have two colleagues that are in Toronto with me. So we try to get together about once a week, and that's really nice.
Yeah, for me, this was my first full-time, all-the-time remote work. But I did realize that I am so much more productive not being in an office full of people, because I talk a lot and people would always kind of come to my office to talk to me. So that's been one of the benefits, is I've realized I get things done a lot faster now that I'm not really surrounded by a bunch of distraction.
Do you want me to start interrupting you more at work?
Yeah.
Just walk. I'll be like, hi, I'm walking into your office.
Just come to my apartment.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, perfect.
I like having my own co-working space. But if I'm bouncing around a lot, then I kind of have to go to cafes. I understand like the most awkward, like I spent 7 hours at this cafe once, and I was just working. I didn't realize 7 hours passed, but I also didn't realize I only had a glass of orange juice for 7 hours. And I was like, ah, yeah, oh no.
But there's also, you know, it's like when I work from home, it's nice because I have a nice big monitor. So having my monitor is important. And for a lot of people that we work with, like if you're a developer, maybe you have two monitors.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. You got to make sure you have the right setup.
I was wondering if you can give me an insider's look into Creative Commons.
Mary and I and the other person who works in Toronto, Allison, who we'll talk to later, we work on sort of the East Coast time zone. Because I do most days try to work out of my apartment, I try to go for a walk in the morning so that I'm sort of separating myself from just like wearing my pajamas all day. I think it's important to sort of separate that and make yourself actually wear human clothes and get yourself outside for a bit.
I call that time hatching. Because
hatching?
It's like, you,
oh, yeah.
You wake up and you're in this egg and you have to wake up, and like
genius.
Become a human being, right? So
oh,
that's why I get
that.
Up extra early, because I need a little bit more time to hatch and be ready for human consumption.
That's great. I really like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to dial it back a little bit because I realized there was one thing that I really wanted to ask you guys. When you were giving your explanation about the company, I'm sure a lot of people know that Creative Commons works with licensing mm-hmm. of materials online and all that. But do you guys have any other projects, initiatives that people may be like, oh, I didn't know you guys did this as well?
So one of the things that we have is called the CC Certificate, which is a program that people can take online or in person. It's sort of like an educational program, and it's for people who want to learn more about copyright and how CC licenses work and open licensing. And then the other one that I really did want to mention, because I think it's probably the newest, is CC Search. CC Search and CC Certificate were probably started around the same time. But CC Search is this really cool free search tool that we have that makes openly licensed, it makes it easier to discover and use openly licensed material. And just last week, I believe, we launched the CC, let me get the name right, the CC Search Browser Extension, which is a plugin that you can download to your browser so you can just look for openly licensed images and illustrations and other things straight through your browser. So it's really awesome. I've used it a couple of times since we launched it. I actually found these really hilarious GIFs. I'm going to say GIFs. These really hilarious GIFs of cats in outer space. And it was like the best day when I found that.
But also there's food. It was like a cat on a burger.
Yeah, there's like a cat on a burger. And it was this really great thing that someone had made. But I found it through CC Search and through the browser extension. So we do a lot. That's just like really surface level of what we do. But everything's essentially connected back to our mission. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So to bring it back, I saw on your website that your company mission and values is basically you guys are committed to building a globally accessible public commons of culture and knowledge. I want to know how that external mission statement translates into your internal company culture, work values, etc.
Sure. We do our best to be really transparent with each other. It's really easy to be siloed when you're working remotely and not know what everyone else is doing. So every 2 weeks, we have a staff call where we just sort of talk about what's up. If someone needs help with something, if someone wants to show something off, they can do something like that. But then we also use project management tools like Asana. So everyone can see what everyone else is up to. And I mean, of course, there are always a few exceptions of things that need to be private. But for the most part, I mean, I can always go and look at what Victoria is doing and see what her week is going to be like. And maybe I feel comfortable asking her help with something if I see what she's up to.
Yeah, I was going to say the other thing is we all can see each other's calendars. Because if you're not seeing people in the office every day, you're not entirely sure if they have a million meetings, because usually you would talk about that. I think that's been something that's really been good for me, at least coming in to a remote company for the first time.
So on top of being very transparent about seeing what your other colleagues are doing, or do you guys have anything else you're doing to make your colleagues feel like they're being included?
Actually, just last week, someone shared a really cool calendar with me that had a lot of holidays and celebrations from around the world. So I think that's something that we're going to implement, and I'm kind of excited about it because it's really awesome. Interesting to see what other people are up to.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think the other thing that we do that's really nice that I don't know when this started, but is whenever you do get up at whatever your time is and you start your day, you go on Slack and say hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've all been doing that. But then I have to remember because usually I want to say good morning, but then I have to remember, oh, some people have been up for a few hours. So that's one way that's a very small thing, but it's something we try to be conscious of when we, you know, how we phrase things, because some people have been up for a while.
That's
true.
So you
just say, hey, what's up? Instead of saying, oh, good morning, like first coffee of the day. So there are some things, like small things like that, I think are important.
It's very tempting to say good morning.
It's really hard. Yeah. It's very, very tough.
I have not thought of that. That is actually really true. Yeah.
I didn't think of it either until I think you mentioned it to me. I was like, oh, yeah, like that person's been up for a while. So they're probably like,
especially,
oh.
You know, Europeans, it's like we wake up and they're like, my day's almost
ending,
done.
Yeah.
True.
Do you feel like you're also very aware of seasons? Because that's our other one.
Very aware of seasons.
Yeah. Like, it'll be like winter here.
Oh, even like talking about the year, right? You'd be like, well, we could do that next winter. And it's like the habit of not calling it winter because it's not winter for everybody. It's like, let's call it Q1.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's got to be other words we can use.
I would say the last thing I mentioned that I think is important too is we, for the holidays, we did Secret Santa. But then we realized that it wasn't inclusive. So we actually changed it to Secret Friend, which is actually how they say it in Brazil, like in Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
So that was one instance where we're like, oh, well, let's be inclusive for people who, A, don't celebrate Christmas, but also people who maybe they call it something else or it's not that. So
it's a lot of like the verbiage and like what language
it is. Yeah, it's really important.
The season thing, like I stopped myself recently with that, or I've been trying to be more aware of it because like we're doing a month end newsletter every month. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, maybe we can do some like winter themed, cold colored. And I'm like,
I kept wanting to say like happy fall. And our creative director was like, but it's not fall for everyone that's on our newsletter. It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm like, okay, I can't just make it all like cold blue kind of thing because some people it might be warm orange and where they're looking
exactly.
at. So yeah, no, the language is a really important thing.
Really important, yeah.
But it does take time to turn out of that mindset. I've heard that you guys also applied for a diversity, equity, and inclusion grant. And could you tell me a little bit more about that? Because I feel like that really sums up like your guys' focus and efforts on having an inclusive workspace.
Sure thing. So one of our bigger funders is the Hewlett Foundation. And the year before last, they had this grant that was for DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it was pretty broad. You could take the money and sort of do whatever you wanted with it. So for the first year, we really focused internally. So we looked at how we do our meetings and how our calendars work, how we communicate with each other in general, because being remote, that can be really tough. And we actually got a renewal of that grant. So this year we're going to work on the hiring process and onboarding and our handbook. We have staff all over the world, so we're trying to figure out a way to improve where we find people and what our hiring process is for that kind of thing. And then lastly, the Hewlett Foundation focuses a lot on OER, open educational resources, and that was something that we really wanted to give them as sort of a thank you for the grant, is something that we can share with the rest of the world. So currently we have a pretty good handbook, but I want to make it a little bit more human friendly and sort of make it a how to work here guide and have it openly licensed so that others can remix it.
On top of all the initiatives that you guys are doing right now, I know you guys do events as well. And you had said that your other colleague, Allison, is the one who's in charge of it. Perhaps now would be a good time to get her in on the conversation.
Let's call her events and operations manager.
Allison, hi. My name is
hi.
Josephine. Thank you so much for joining us on the call and on Remoter Podcast Season 2 of the Creative Commons episode. To give listeners a little bit of context, we're gunning it and we couldn't hear Allison from the regular headphones. So now my headphone is now just the speaker on the table. And now everyone's just listening to that. Allison, tell me what you do at Creative Commons.
Sure. My title is Events and Operations Manager. Changed a little bit in my time at Creative Commons. I first came on the organization to work on the Summit, which is our 400-person business conference that we hold every year. So we bring our members of our community together once a year from all over the world to further their work. I also plan the two in-town weeks that we hold, and those are our week-long meetings for our staff that we get together twice a year. We have four really, really full days of hanging out and furthering our work, doing some fun kind of staff bonding things together. So I also do that. So before I joined the team, we kind of had a system where organized Creative Commons groups in different countries could kind of bid on hosting the summit. It had some really great benefits, that model, but it also, we've started to miss out on things like reporting and continuity and, you know, just being able to hold certain things at the staff level. When I first started, we brought everything back into staff. And so that's when we had the event here in Toronto, which is where I'm located. So I was able to be the boots on the ground. I was able to be the sort of everything to the event with support from Mary and others from our team, of course. And it went really well in Toronto for 2 years. And then we decided that we wanted to move out of North America. And so last year, 2019, and in 2020, we were holding the event in Lisbon. So that's come with this whole set of challenges because I'm not based in Lisbon. And so that's kind of tricky that way. But we've settled on a model this year where we've sold most of the tasks in staff jurisdiction. And then we have an event producer, which we just hired, which I'm very excited about. And she is going to work kind of part-time contract hours for us in Lisbon, just kind of to be the boots on the ground. And then we also have an excellent volunteer team in Lisbon as well. And so they are passionate about kind of the arts focus, and they really brought that to life. And they help us make connections with the local communities, and but they're volunteers.
Local support is probably one of oh my God.
Really big.
Just having somebody speak the language and know their way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't know what you don't know, right? And so we just had a bunch of surprises that probably would not have been surprises had we had someone there on the ground. So we learned. We're moving on.
Do you have any other stories or lessons learned from your previous year of event planning and that you've kind of added to this model?
I think that we have done a really good job of increasing the ways that people can participate. Volunteer members of our community can participate in building the summit. So we give people the opportunity to join the program committee, the scholarship committee. There's an application process for both of those. We have our event day volunteers. So it's really an event that we make sure it is for the community and built by the community and give people chances and really like clear ways of participating.
And on top of the summit, as you said, there were internal events, I would assume, as like company retreats that you are planning as well.
Yeah. So twice a year, usually one in the first quarter and one in the third or fourth quarter, depending on what the schedule looks like. We get our whole staff team together from all over the world. We try to incorporate some staff bonding because it would be too intense if we just did like work for 4 days.
So I was wondering if you guys had any kind of personal stories from your retreats that you would love to share with our listeners.
Sure. I have two that I'm thinking of right now, actually. One is, so we always have an opening circle in the morning and a closing circle at the end of the day. And sometimes it's just to check in and say hello and see how you're feeling. And sometimes it's a little bit more sherry. And there was one that we actually did last year in Miami that I loved. And I think it was a closing circle. And we went around and everyone had to tell one story or phrase that was a local-ism to where they lived. Something that somebody else wouldn't understand. So there was somebody from Canada, for instance, it was not me, who explained the Saskatchewan bunny hug, which is a hooded sweatshirt. And people were just like, what is a bunny hug? And it was like, yes, that's what it is. And I remember one of our colleagues from Brazil told us a really interesting ism that was, I wish I could remember the Portuguese word, but it was about homesickness. And Allison, do you remember?
I don't remember the word. No.
Yeah. But it was about like if you've been gone for a long time and you come back home and you meet up with your friends, the thing that you say to them is like, hey, I'm glad you're back. Like, why don't we meet up and kill the homesick?
Okay.
And I thought that was really neat. So I feel like we're always trying to share things in our culture for sure.
What did you share?
Something that my grandmother used to always say, if you asked her how she was, is she would always say, fair to middling.
What?
And it just meant she's fine. It's pretty cute.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love people.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
And Allison's a trooper because she's the only one of us, of me and Mary, that have kids. So we're always just amazed.
She does it all. I don't know how
she does it all. And like, whenever I complain about something, I always think about Allison. I was like, oh yeah, she has children. I have like not even a pet.
Yeah. I mean, the benefits to my entire family of working remotely are undeniable for sure. You know, it really, I was working in an office environment with very rigid rules on attendance, and no one was allowed to work remotely. It was another events role for an organization that I really loved before I came to Creative Commons. And it became really hard because my kid goes back to school or starts daycare. You know, she's 1 year old. She starts daycare. She picks up all the germs. And I think like 2 months into the year, I was out of sick days. And so for just to be able to work remotely and like, if my kids had a terrible evening, like a night, or, you know, they didn't get enough sleep or they're sick under the weather, things are happening, I can choose to keep them at home. I can prioritize. I drop my daughter off at school every single morning and I join the morning circle and Sing O Canada, the whole deal, which is awesome. And, you know, it makes such a difference in my time with my children and my partner because I have time to get things done during the day, during my break when I'm not commuting. I have real quality time to spend with my family, which is priceless.
I mean, I kind of hope the world continues going that way because of all the realized benefits, especially for parents.
Yeah. Or at least be more flexible, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this section of the podcast.
Yeah, I love you guys.
Thanks, Allison. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Her babysitter was not here last week. And it was hard. It was really hard for her, but it was awesome because sometimes he'd be in the call. So you'd be talking to her and you could just like see him off in the background. Yeah. And then he like brought a toy that I bought for him.
Oh.
And was like, look, it's the chicken that you got for me. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, cool. It was super cute.
Curious question for you guys. Do you consider your company as a team or a family?
Oh.
I think team.
Yeah, I think we're a team.
I think we're a team.
Yeah, it's an interesting question though, because I think to get that I know what you mean, that family feel, because my first job out of my master's degree, I had that with my team in my company. But the reason we had it is because pretty much, I mean, we spent so much time together, probably too much time together. Like, I actually knew probably too much about them that, you know, probably on like unprofessional level, how the details I knew about their lives, because we would just talk all the time about like very personal things that maybe you should.
Because right here.
You're right there. Yeah. And you would go out drinking together and you would do stuff like that. And so I think I get what you mean. I don't necessarily miss that though.
Okay.
Because I think to some extent in some places it can get to like a weird, like unprofessional level where you do know too much personal details about people and there gets to be sort of like this gossiping and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we don't really have those types of issues. So, yeah, I agree with Mary. I think we're really focused on the mission and what we're doing work-wise. Of course, we have personal discussions, but it's not to the same extent that I've sort of had in other places I've worked. And I kind of like that.
Okay. That's something that I had to really adjust because my first job out of school, I was in like a post-production studio and I really like I called people like it felt like a family.
Yeah.
Just because we were there
for together all the time
too long. And it was just like working on projects where, you know, we'd be angry about the same things and we all understand each other's anger.
You all complain about it together.
And it's kind of like just the nature of remote work, you just do not get as close. It's just,
that's it's true.
How it is.
Yeah.
On Remoter, like we have a course and like a free online course on how to build scale remote teams, learn about remote work. And one of the chapters is basically on like our CEO gives a little section, a little talk and a little part of it where he talks about how you consider your work as a team, not a family. And it's important to think that way, especially in this remote work world. Mm-hmm. So I was curious to see like where you guys were at. And I guess we're aligned. We think the same. It's more of a team than it is of a family.
We're a team that is changing the world.
Yes.
A family doesn't change the world.
They fight.
But a team changes the world.
Finally, I wanted to ask if you guys think that Creative Commons, the company's story, mission, and values, will encourage and enable more leaders and companies to transition or to go remote first.
I hope so. We talk about it often, and we certainly promote it as much as we can.
I think so. Whenever I tell any of my friends that I work remotely, they're all extremely curious.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something people are really interested in and they want to learn more about, especially with smaller organizations. Like you said, it gives them the ability to find talent anywhere. It doesn't mean it has to be outside of their country of origin, but then you could just go across your country too. It doesn't mean people have to move to like San Francisco and spend so much money to live there. Like it just opens up so much more possibilities. So I hope so. Yeah.
It's like people have a chance. They know people know that they have a chance to work on something cool like our mission if they're anywhere. So, I mean, what other organization? Well, a few others do it. But what other organizations? Like not a lot of them. It's like if you see someone who is doing something cool, you're like, well, I don't live there. So I certainly could never work for them. So like if I want to work for NASA, I guess I better move to like Florida.
There's a few places, but yes, to the U.S.
You know, but if you really believe in the mission of Creative Commons, there's a chance that you could work for us, right? Like you can be anywhere. And I think that's kind of nice.
I think the other thing too is that if you're an organization that has a globally focused mission, and we're still like, we are not perfect on this whatsoever, but we really want to work on it. We don't, if we have a globally focused mission, we shouldn't just be hiring people who are from, you know, America, especially from like New York or DC. And I think that's an issue for a lot of nonprofits who do have a globally focused mission. They're sort of, they only get to hire people and get the ideas and experiences of people who are in sort of these bigger cities. And I think that can be sort of to the detriment of their mission. So,
especially like having the perspectives of the people. Yeah, that is really important too.
Yep.
So you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Go remote.
Go remote.
Go Absolutely.
Remote. So I just want to thank you guys so much for being a part, being a participant of the Remoter Project, coming here to do this with me.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Remoter Podcast Season 2 is recorded, produced, and edited by Josephine C. It is mixed and mastered by Steven Stepanek and Vanessa Monroy. Graphics and visuals by Valentina Castillo. The music track used is Skip by Old Boy from Soundstripe. Follow and subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget, we've recently made our Founding and Growing Remotely online course completely accessible and listed on our site. Visit us at remoter.com, that's remoter.com, for more relevant content. Follow us on social media at Remoter Project to stay up to date with our latest initiatives and collaborations with other remote first companies around the world. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about each episode, so feel free to tag us on socials anytime. And remember, we're here to make work fulfilling, so what part will you play in shaping the future of work?